So 24 minutes after 8 a.m. is where we're at this morning, and we'll open up the line, say, after 8:30-ish something this morning. But of course, last week, you know, after we had the interview with the former Deputy Home Affairs Minister, in terms of NSFAS, there were lots of questions that had come through from our listeners with regards to NSFAS. So, of course, this morning we are going to be chatting a bit further regarding NSFAS. If you have any questions, please feel free to message it through to us on the WhatsApp line 072-238-0712. If you have queries, something you need to know about, hopefully I can have those answers given to you this morning. You can use the SMS line alternatively on 47913. So, of course, we are going to be chatting about the National Student Financial Aid Scheme and the application process for the 2020 academic year. Applications, as you know, officially close on midnight on the 30th of November 2019, and NSFAS is on an aggressive drive to get matriculants to apply. Now, on Friday, like I said, so many questions and comments came through regarding NSFAS, and that's why we decided to invite them on this morning and, of course, get further information. But joining us this morning from NSFAS is Administrator Dr. Randall Carolison joining us. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, of course, just to understand, in terms of the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, what exactly is it that they do?
Well, we provide financial support to the poor and marginalized and people on TASAP beneficiaries, and we make full funding available for them to complete their tertiary studies at public university for an approved course. It's quite a large scheme. This year, we've spent 35 billion rand to over 700,000 students.
Now, in terms of the applications, how many applications have you received for the year 2020 nationally and, of course, here in the Western Cape as well?
Okay, so it's important to note the application closes on the 30th of November. So far, we've received 400,000 new applications. Of course, people that are already in the system, if they pass, they are fully funded. So we expect, again, 700,000 students or so to be funded. And therefore, it's important that people apply if they're new. But in the Western Cape, we've had a particular problem with very low enrollment. At some stage, it was only 10,000, whereas in KZN, it was over 90,000 by way of comparison. But we have done quite a bit of work in the Western Cape, and it's gone up to 20,000. But it's still way below where it should be.
Now, of course, like you mentioned, the Western Cape is lagging behind. And why do you think here in the Western Cape we've seen substantially less in terms of our applications? Do you think perhaps there is a misunderstanding in terms of who qualifies for NSFAS?
Yes, I think there is a misunderstanding, and there's also a certain degree of apathy. So a lot of people, I've been spending a lot of time on the ground talking to parents and students, and many of them are under the impression that the scheme is only for black people, which is absolute nonsense, of course. And then the second thing is that some people that work for government that qualify financially-wise do not apply because somebody told them that they work for government and therefore they can't apply. You can apply if you're under the threshold of 350,000 rand, regardless of whether you work for government. And I also think that in other areas we have, like KZN, where we do extremely, where we do extremely well. We have partnerships with local communities, and we can see the impact thereof. You know, like community organisations, they go out and they fetch the youngsters, they explain to them how things are working, and we see the impact therefore of partnerships with community organisations. In the Western Cape, we've started and we've got one or two partners, but it's way too little.
Now, Doc, you know, you've mentioned in terms of, you know, who can qualify for NSFAS. I mean, I'm just thinking about one question or a few questions regarding the same topic that had come about last week, is that individuals say that they are being told they are from a certain area, so they do not qualify for NSFAS. Is this possible?
No, I don't know why people make up these stories, because it's for all South Africans. If you are earning under 350,000 a year as a household, or if you are a beneficiary, then you qualify. And if you are disabled status, then you are the threshold is 600,000. So I think, you know, some cases the excuses are so ridiculous. I actually wonder whether people want to study. You know, but you only become funded once you are registered at the university. So we determine your eligibility. Once we receive your registration data from the university, you then become funded. And the process is as follows. So we receive applications now. we process them, and by the end of this year, 31 December, we notify students to say you are eligible. Once they go to the university, they don't have to pay any registration fee. And then, of course, the universities will pick up that or TVET College will pick up that you're a LISFAS eligible student. And then you are in the system, and then you start paying your allowances. And then we all know that LISFAS was a big mess. That's why it was placed under administration in 2018. But in 2019, we have resolved, we paid from the word go. We paid from February onwards. And so far, we have paid 99% of all our students that were eligible to pay. The other 7,000 or so students that we can't find, or they have not completed their bursary forms. So our systems have become very predictable. And so that's also another excuse that people use, that NSFAS doesn't work. Now, I mean, people mustn't live in the past. It's sure. actually working well now.
Now, in terms of the applications, you know, must you have been in matric, for instance, in 2019 to qualify for 2020? What happens to those students that were okay to pay, you know, their fees? However, after a few years, they've been going through financial difficulty. Are they eligible for NSFAS as well?
That's an important question. So if your financial status had changed at any time, like, you know, people lose their jobs, people get divorced, things like that,
yeah,
then you can apply, okay, because then we'll consider it at that point. And then from that point onwards, you will be in the system. Also, the other thing is if there's no age restriction. We find that a lot of out-of-school people or youth that can't find jobs are now applying for NSFAS, which is very encouraging. And then also for TVET colleges, you can apply below matric. You can apply from grade, 10 onwards for TVET colleges. Okay. So it's all on our website. People will just make an effort to go onto the website. But we have had extensive outreach programs in the Western Cape. Bishop Lavers, Mitchell's Plain, Booster, Paul. And we find that people just don't bother to read the website or bother to get information. But the interest is picking up, I should also add.
Sure. Doc, we are going to be heading out for our headlines very quickly at the bottom of the hour. We continue the conversation when we return. Thank you. Last week, some of the messages coming through saying we have applied, however, we haven't heard back or our application has been unsuccessful. What are some of those determining factors?
Well, look, so people must be patient for this year. Like I said, we will spend the rest of December processing all of these applications. And if you open up your portal, your personal portal on the NSFAS, you can track your application on that. Where people are not successful, they must really contact us or make an effort. Because in many cases, we've got serious challenges with people changing their cell phone numbers. We can't get hold of them. They don't provide us with the documentation. And in other cases, they simply just don't qualify, you know. So people must really, really make sure that they follow all the processes, give us all the documentations, and provide us with the correct information. Now, even this year, I should say that we are directly linked with Home Affairs. So we can validate ID numbers directly with Home Affairs, that of the applicant as well as the parents. So that problem will not be so severe anymore. We can also determine disabled status as well as SASSA status directly with our fellow government departments. And now, even more than before, we can accurately determine income, because in the past we had to use Credit Bureau income status. Now we determine income directly with SARS. Now, Credit Bureau status are not very accurate because people inflate their salaries to get better credits. And then when we pick up the higher salary, then people then have ruled themselves out. But, in many cases, people have retrenchment letters, at the time when they apply, they were working, but then later on they lost their job. And I mean, we're always open to that. So people must not give up. You know, that's the main point.
Sure. Now, in terms of private colleges, if, a student wishes to use a private institution, do they still qualify for NSFAS?
No, we don't fund private at all. Okay. No.
All right. And then in terms of the repayment, how does that work exactly? When would a student, then begin repaying their NSFAS loan?
So all the students that enter the system in 2018 onwards, it's a bursary scheme. There's no repayment. Before 2018, they were still on a grant system, a repayment system, and they are still required to pay back. So all new students since 2018 are not required to pay back.
Okay, pretty interesting there. Other messages coming through this morning. I'm just having a look very, very quickly. Yes, for those of you that are asking, Doc has just mentioned now that it is not for private institutions. So if you have a wish to go to a private institution and you want to apply for NSFAS, you do not qualify. They will not accommodate you there. Other questions coming through this morning. Oh, it's with regards to if a student has a bursary or part of a bursary, do they still qualify for having the rest of their studies funded by NSFAS?
No, we don't allow that, because the NSFAS is full funding. Is and I tell you why it's important to say this. We fund you everything. We fund your tuition and your residence and also last summer allowances. And we rather encourage such bursary givers that give bursaries to give to the other category of students that are outside of the ceiling, which we refer to as the missing middle, because such students are really, really suffering because at the moment they are not accommodated. So we should not be too greedy, because NSFAS funds qualifying students fully, and therefore we'd rather let other people also get an opportunity that don't qualify for NSFAS.
So a question coming through is, how long exactly does it take in terms of if you've applied for NSFAS, you know, to be contacted? Is it a month? Is it a few weeks?
Well, like I said, we have now, we probably will reach 500,000 new applicants by the end of this month when the season closes. It takes us in roughly a month to check your application. And we have a process that where you get rejected the first time, we actually work through it again and we contact you to make sure that we don't reject you by error. So hopefully by the end of December, everybody should know whether they're eligible. And then as the university is then open and you register, and we receive your registration data from the university, we then start funding you. But like I said, students must open up their own portal so that they can check and track their application status. Now, I'm saying the end of the month is the latest that we know. We've already started processing. So in other words, we've already started processing some people's applications, because we're not waiting until we've finished. Mm. And so you just have to watch that. But you know, if you fulfill the criteria as I've described them, then there shouldn't be any problem.
Absolutely. Now, for those of you that have just joined us and that are messaging to ask, you know, what are we speaking about? It's with regards to NSFAS, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, and the application process for 2020. As you would know, as mentioned last week, you have until the 30th of November 2019 in which to send through or apply for the 2020 academic year. Just another message coming through, Doc, saying, must you be a full-time student?
No, we do fund part-time students at UNISA also, but there we only fund book allowance of about 5,000 rand. So we only fund part-time students only on that basis. Yeah. But for full-time, we fund fully, like I just go through. We fund your tuition, your registration, if you live on campus, and you also get then a small living allowance. If you live off campus, we make accommodation for travel to campus, as well as in some cases meals also.
Okay.
But those guidelines will be published this week, and we will then make more detail known about the time. But you are actually fully funded. The interesting part is that I should say is that NSFAS students do much better than all other students on campus. Their throughput rate is 68%, whereas other students' throughput rate is 58%, and I'm talking about rich students as well.
Mm.
So it shows that, you know, if students get the opportunity and they have the comfort of having their fees paid and they have food and all of those things, then they can focus on the studies. And people should really make use of this.
Doc, just to perhaps reiterate for those that have just joined us, and I see lots of questions coming in terms of this, must students have applied first at college, university, before applying at NSFAS?
No, they must do both. You see, because if you're NSFAS eligible, it doesn't mean we're going to fund you. We need to receive your registration data. So you don't do the one after the other. You do it together, you know. Now, most universities have closed for applications, but a lot of TVET colleges are still open. And in some cases, you could go to the university and still try to get in. But it's important that going forward that people understand that you have to apply to university regardless, and then, you know, also apply for NSFAS at the same time. We are hoping to have our application season earlier next year, but it's all got to do with the question of planning. What we have done is we have trained DBE teachers, Department of Basic Education teachers, throughout the country to assist students in school already to apply for both NSFAS as well as to the institutions. But it didn't work so well this year, so we have to find a way to improve on that. Because if students can apply and get all their business done before the matric exam, it will make everybody's life easier.
All right. Doc, another question coming through saying, why does NSFAS not assist if your household income is more than 350,000 rand for the year, but you have more than one or two children at university?
Well, that is a very important question that we have taken up with the department. Say that, it is a real hardship if you have more than one child at university. I'm not so sure how we're going to deal with this in this round of the rules and guidelines, but it is a problem. But it is a problem that we have to cost, We need to know whether we can afford it. Because remember, government gives us a certain amount of money, and we have 80 billion for the next 3 years, and we have to make sure that we have enough money. But having said that also, I think people must write to us and so explain the circumstances to us, and then we can have a look at it. But at the moment, the rules do not allow for that. But it gives me the ammunition to take to the policymakers and say to them that we have to look at this more carefully. The other important point also is how funded. Once you receive your first, once you are in the NSFA system, we fund your entire degree. Okay? So you don't apply again after the first year or so. In fact, we fund you a degree plus 1 year, so we call it the N plus one system. So it's if it's a 3 year degree, we fund you for 4 years. Because we understand that poor students come from schools where the preparation was probably not very good and all of that. So the point I'm making is that once you're in the system, you will guarantee your entire funding for your duration of your degree or your diploma.
Another question coming through, do my matric results determine whether my application is successful or not?
No, we don't look at your matric results at all, because the institutions where you are accepted, they make that determination.
All right.
They decide whether you can come in or not. So we only look at your household circumstances as well as your SASSA beneficiary status.
Okay, and I think also along the same lines of that question, it goes on to say, if you have an incomplete degree which you had left due to circumstances and you would like to start a new degree, would you qualify for NSFAS?
You would qualify if you were not previously funded.
All right, okay.
And if you were previously funded, you have now dropped out because of circumstances and you are now ready to go back to the next level, then we can reinstate your funding for you.
All right. Doc, we've just got 8:45. We are going to be heading out for a very quick ad break. Of course, when we get back, we'll take more of those questions. Thank you.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So 8:47 is where we're at this morning, and of course we are speaking regarding applications for 2020 for the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. So lots of your questions being answered this morning. Online we do have NSFAS Administrator Dr. Randall Carolison. But I see other messages coming through, and lots of them are repetitive. So if we've already answered the question, I'm not going to go back to them. Perhaps after the interview I can just give you a brief recap so that we don't waste time. Doc, another question coming through saying, this is with regards to the actual application process. What documents are needed? How does one go about doing an application? Is it online only?
Yes. Now, we do have manual application, but we try not to use it. We only use it in extreme circumstances because it gets lost and, all sorts of things go wrong with manual applications. I did several electronic applications, website applications on Saturday in Paul, and it is very easy. It's literally 3 minutes or so. But what you need your own ID, you need your mother and father's ID. If they are working, you need their payslips. And then, most important, you need to give us a consent form, which allow us to check your income stream. Which allow us to check your household income. And if you are in a SASSA beneficiary, you need your SASSA status. Now, if your parents have been retrenched or divorced, it's also useful to put such papers in, so that we so that we can complete your application. But if you go onto the website, you open up your portal. In other words, you register, and then it will then ask you to apply. It's very simple. If you have a phone that can take it will allow you to take photos of your documents and upload it. If you don't have that facility, you can then scan it in at some place, make a file of it, and then email it with your application. Your application will then pick it up from the computer that you are working on. So we are encouraging young people to go to libraries where there are Wi-Fi facilities or any other place, of course, that has Wi-Fi facilities, and do it online, or even at schools. So on Saturday coming, we have a big outreach program at Voorburg School in Delft, and there we help students. But it's very simple. If you run into problems, you can always come into our Wynberg office, especially in the Cape Town area, and we can assist you there. So I make it sound easy, but I also know that people are sometimes scared of computers, so you know, we have to balance that. But we have certainly, even in the rural areas, we went into KZN, we find students to find it quite easy to you can even enroll from a smartphone, to all the applications from a smartphone.
All right. Another question coming through, and this is still on the issue of private education and private universities. Why exactly is NSFAS not open to private education?
Because it's a government fund, and government must invest in its own facilities. Mm. We can't allow profits to be made off this money, so that's why we don't fund it. It's just that, And I think our institutions are, our universities are certainly equal or better than private universities. And we know also, you know, there's also scams in some cases. I'm not saying all private universities are scams or private colleges are scams, but this is a government fund.
Sure. Now, in terms of the actual application, like you mentioned, Doc, you know, you need to go online, open up a portal for yourself. Questions come through. How can you confirm if your application has been received?
You will need a phone number or a personal phone, and you will receive a reference number as soon as your application has been received.
All right. And then, of course, in terms of today, we understand there's a bit of a roadshow that's happening, I think, out in Rylands, if I'm not mistaken. Do you have the particulars with regards to that?
I will get somebody to provide you with all the particulars, because we have a number of roadshows this whole week, so I actually don't have it with me. But I know we have a number of roadshows throughout the country. You know, the people are deployed throughout the country. I first thought the Ireland show was off, but now I believe it's on again, so I'll have to send you that detail.
Sure. Okay. And then another question coming through, in terms of if I fail a few courses or modules, does this affect my NSFAS funding?
Oh, you know, people shouldn't even plan for failure, because if you want to get NSFAS funding, you must plan for success. But of course, you have to get, it's not as dependent on this, but you have to get into the institution. So if they accept you or don't accept you, that's the ultimate criterion.
All right. And of course, just a reminder to our listeners, the deadline is the 30th of November at midnight. But Doc, you know, any final comment from yourself, anything you wish to advise our listeners?
Well, I don't think, all I want to say is don't leave it for the last minute. Get your documents together. This is a one-in-a-million lifetime for many poor people. I can talk about myself. If I didn't have government assistance, I would probably not have been where I am today. And don't be put off by setbacks. If you receive a negative response from us, please do come back and make your case. Because, you know, we sometimes draw on data that's not completely accurate. Or sometimes you put the wrong things in. And like I said, sometimes your mother and father put in the wrong salary for credit purposes. So don't just give up and let us read about you in the papers to say that you are fathers, do qualify, and NSFAS is rejected. It is not in NSFAS' interest to reject people. It is in our interest to fund all people that qualify. And that's why I'm saying that we are funding more than 700,000 students this year. So we want to fund you, and don't think that we are excluding you because we don't like you, because we don't even know who you are. So, you know, we want to fund people as long as they do their work on their side.
Doc, very quickly, just two more messages coming through and then we'll wrap it at this. Is NSFAS age dependent? Do I need to be between a certain age? And the second question is with regards to if my parents don't have official pay slips, for instance, how do they then go about applying in terms of the documentation?
If they don't have official pay slips, they must just send us an affidavit signed by somebody to say that they are not working, they are unemployed. Or normally they have unemployment certificates or UIF certificates of sorts. They must just make sure that we know that they are unemployed. And then the second thing is it's not age dependent. The other day in Durban, I registered the lady that was 47 years old. She couldn't find a job, and she went back to the hospitality industry. So it's not age dependent, although, of course, the bulk of our applications are from young people.
All right. We'll leave it at that for this morning. Just finally, in terms of a contact number that our listeners can access.
Well, it is the normal NSFAS portal. You just go to Google, type portal, my NSFAS, and then you are in. Once you're in my NSFAS, you then, of course, register and set yourself up an account. And please don't use complicated passwords, because our call center gets flooded with password changes and inquiries, and then people get very agitated. And then also we have the 08000 NSFAS number that you can call. Now, it's tough to get through those numbers because of the numbers of students that we serve, and also because students don't look after their passwords or they change the cell phone numbers all the time. And all of those things make it very difficult for us to service you if you don't follow those processes. Very simple password that you can remember, and that you don't have to call us. You don't have to call us every day to reset your password, because it takes time and it allows other people not to get through to us.
Doc, I've seen a few questions regarding something that's come through, and I'm not sure if we have touched it. I can't recall. We've been through a lot. Just in terms of the actual degree that's going to be studied, is NSFAS only applicable to degrees, or can it be a one-year diploma, a six-month course, etc.?
It's any course that's funded. You can go on the website by a TVET college or a university. So in some cases, some of it might be diplomas. In a TVET environment, might even be 6 months. So people might just do a little bit of their homework. It's quite a long list of courses that we fund.
All right. Well, Dr. Randall, we thank you for your time this morning and sharing with us the necessary information needed. We do appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye. And that was NSFAS Administrator Dr. Randall Carolison speaking to us this morning.